This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. Thank you, Sabrina, for the news. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Audrey Raj
and Christine Wong.
We will be with you all the way through until 1 o'clock this Friday afternoon. It is Friday. It is, of course, the weekend.
Yes.
Oh, my word. I'm so looking forward to this weekend. All right, you
it's
guys?
Been so long. Yes, it's. Yes.
Obviously, yes. Yes, clearly. Right. Right at the top of the show, let's tell you how you can get in touch. You can get us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or, of course, on Twitter at BFM Radio. Start that conversation. We have stories about how Airbnb are aiming to woo wealthier travelers. That's Christine's story. We're then moving on to Archos. They have revealed the City Connect, first Google Android scooter.
And it is super cool.
It's very cool. Twitter, they will be barring tactics used by bots to spread false stories, wrapping up with the AR kit that could bring your nightmares into your living room, and then, of course, some podcast recommendations that we think you guys should check out over the weekend. Right then, Airbnb, what are they doing?
So Airbnb has announced a new hotel-like tier of service on its platform that the company is calling Airbnb Plus. So the listings that will be on Airbnb Plus are properties that must have a 4.8 out of 5-star rating or higher. And the idea is that it's like a higher quality version of Airbnb. The properties also need to be, they need to have all these things on this like checklist of 100 things. So such as a must-have amenities, art on the walls, a clean refrigerator, full cooking equipment, and stocked toiletries. All of that will be included in this new, in all the listings on this new Airbnb Plus element. So this is, it seems like that this is Airbnb's attempt to put a few more eggs in different baskets because the company is preparing to float on the stock market, and they may want to reassure potential investors concerned that Airbnb's core business could be under threat because Airbnb surprisingly hasn't been doing particularly well. Their short-term rentals dropped by more than 50% in less than 6 months in San Francisco.
Oh, really?
Specifically. Mm. Yeah. And the average nightly rate for an Airbnb Plus listing will be $200 US dollars instead of $100 for standard listings. So they are looking at January 2018 to be like a hard reset for a lot of their for a lot of their spaces and their rules and a lot of things that they're trying to do. However, they also have 4.5 million listings around the world, and they've had 300 million guests in the past decade. So that, you know, they're doing worse than they were, but they're not doing too badly either. Also.
Okay.
Yes.
So the idea. So basically what they're doing is they're getting all fancy.
Yes.
Before they go for their IPO.
Yes.
And
also, in addition to Airbnb Plus, the company is announcing that it's officially recognizing hotels on its platform, which is a notable shift in policy for a company that has long considered the hotel industry its rival. And now people are saying that, you know, it could be a really big win for Airbnb if it can court boutique hotels with lower fees than standard listing sites. So the new categories that you'll see on Airbnb are being labeled as vacation homes and B&Bs, and those join the existing shared room, private room, and full house categories. There's also a new unique category for stuff like mobile homes and tree houses and other weird accommodations and stuff like that. And they're also adding a new thing called collections, which are kind of situational categories to help refine searches by specifying the occasion. So for a honeymoon or a wedding getaway or a dinner party or whatever.
So they're getting fancy.
Yes.
I heard art on walls being a category on that checklist.
I guess
art on
tree
walls.
Houses, I hear they're putting boats, rooms on boats up, on Airbnb as well. Can you spell sellout?
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, have you, either of you stayed in an Airbnb?
Many times. I quite like Airbnb.
Your experience has been good so far.
Yeah, so far. I mean, most of the properties that I've stayed in using Airbnb have been really nice, or, you know, the one property I stayed in that was like not so nice, it was still livable and comfortable. So I was okay.
Yeah, so, but you know why this is happening, right? They're trying to cater to a new audience. They've had to kind of look into quality control. They cut down their listings by half, Christine mentioned earlier. And I don't know what this seems to say about what Airbnb used to offer previously. We knew that it was a new option for affordable accommodation, but the fact that maybe some of them were not, I mean, like the postings were not accurate, and that's why they've had to introduce this new list of categories.
I think that's definitely the case.
But also, I think this is basically in the run-up to the IPO. I know it's not going to happen this year. I know possibly early next year is the earliest that we're looking at.
Yep.
There's also, remember that story that we did about Airbnb possibly thinking about Airbnb flights?
Yeah.
Remember that? Yeah, yeah, so yeah. I think they're just looking at several ideas to kind of up their game and, like Christine said, put more eggs in different baskets in preparation.
What are they currently valued at before they go for their IPO?
I believe at the moment they are now at a $31 billion valuation, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But the other thing is that I think this is also an effort for them to try and introduce more quality control, because there's been a lot of issues with, for example, rental tenants renting out spare rooms without knowledge of the homeowner and stuff like that. So that, I think, it's their way of saying, like, okay, with Airbnb Plus, we know for a fact that everything is good, everyone's compliant and aware of this deal, you know, and you're guaranteed quality in return.
I mean, you can't really go wrong by adding more options, can you? You
know? But the thing is that these, like, vacation homes, the bed and breakfast, boutique hotels, they were already on Airbnb, but now they've just kind of segmented it off. Yeah.
Into an official category, correct. Mm.
Did not know that.
Yep.
Okay, time to take a very short break. When we get back, Audrey will be telling us all about the City Connect, the first Google Android scooter.
Yes.
Back in around a minute. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. If you want to get in touch with the show, get us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or of course on Twitter at BFM Radio. Moving on to story number two, the City Connect, the first ever Google Android scooter. Why do we need Google Android on a scooter?
Well, if you've ever maybe thought about using a scooter to commute to work, this is why you will need the City Connect. It's the first ever Google Android scooter that comes with navigation apps. So commuters can travel up to 25 kilometers per hour with Google Maps to guide them. You basically have a touch screen that is connected to 3G and cased in a way that it's protected from bad weather or any minor fender bender. This screen, basically, it's embedded with Google Android 8. Suburbanites can enjoy all the millions of apps that Google Play has to offer while on the go. But, you know, we wouldn't recommend checking Facebook while you're on the go at 25 kilometers per hour. But everything else, I guess, is fair game. You know, you could use Google Maps to kind of like take you wherever you like to go, find your favorite restaurants.
Yeah.
And the best part about this thing is it's connected via 3G, so it can give you live directions, your speed information, and once it's fully charged, it can take you between 18 to 22 kilometers.
Wow.
So that is fair game.
That's pretty decent.
I am seriously thinking about this. Furthermore, with the battery life, which can be monitored on the screen, it gets, this is my favorite part, it gets a boost each time the rider takes a break thanks to its energy recovering system.
Huh?
Yes.
I like the fact that it's got puncture-proof and dimpled tires. That's the word I'm looking for. It's Friday, clearly. See, I had the same problem on Monday as well, didn't I, Chris?
Yeah.
Searching for words. Right. Yeah. I love it, though. The fact that it's foldable, it weighs less than 12 kilograms. Mm-hmm. Right. So we know that our office at some point is moving.
Yes,
right,
we are.
To a more kind of suburban area with a lot more stuff around it. But that stuff that's there is kind of spaced out a little bit more.
And
this would be ideal for that.
And parking is going to be horrible over there. So, you know, we're just thinking about alternative ways to get to work. And this sounds great.
It sounds like a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, I am a little bit concerned though about the whole you can find other apps thing.
Mm.
You know, I kind of feel like for you know, something that you're traveling on, they should really restrict the apps to like just maps and maybe
that's a good point.
That's a good point.
And stuff like that. Because if you give people the option to go on the internet while they're on a scooter, they're gonna go on the internet while they're on a scooter.
Especially, it's traveling at 25 kilometers an hour.
But then,
as well.
Then again, I think, you know, I'd rather use the screen embedded on the scooter than actually have to whip out my handphone to, you know, answer.
No, which is all well and good. I'm just saying, you know, restrict the stuff that you can find on that screen to just navigation.
Yeah. Because, I mean, they're looking at selling it at around 2,500 ringgit or so. Like that. My question is, though, can you get something very similar, cheaper, and just use your own phone? That's the question, right? I'm just curious, you know.
I mean, I know
as a
nothing,
consumer. So. Right. I love the idea of it, though. It's incredibly cool.
Yes, and I think for all those, for people who travel to work via MRT and then they have to make, like, I don't know, a 1 kilometer walk, this is just ideal. It's lightweight, it's foldable, you can carry it under your arm on the MRT, and then once you get off, just scoot your way to work.
I mean, yeah, I think we'd like to hear from everyone else out there if they would get the scooter or not as well, so you can always, you know, message us on WhatsApp at 018-789-8899 or on Twitter at BFM Radio. We'd like to hear from you.
My question is, though, right? Here's, nice. You know, the, when you've seen other people on these scooters pottering around town, and we have seen, I've seen one
yes,
or two.
Yes.
What is your immediate reaction to those people who are pottering around? Because my first time I've done it, I've gone like, look at that idiot there. But now I want one.
Yeah, well, my first memory of someone being on a scooter like this was Michael Schumacher at Sepang, like, years ago. And I thought it was just super cool.
Yeah.
That, you know, right, Shumi had one. I want one.
That's it. I'm having one then. Right, time for a short break, some ads, and then some music from the Four Tops. It's the same old song. When we get back, how will we be talking about Twitter barring the tactics used for bots to spread false stories, following up on our little story yesterday with Jeff. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Be faithful, men. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong
and Audrey Raj.
We are with you all the way through until 1 o'clock today. A quick reminder, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or on Twitter at BFM Radio. Got any messages?
Yeah, so we've got a message here from number last four digits 9662 saying, yeah, cool scooter. Hopefully it's not as horrendous as the gyro scooter. And this is referring to the Google Android scooter that Audrey was talking about before, the songs and such.
Very cool stuff.
City Connect, go look it up.
Indeed, right. Story number three then. Is it three? Yes, three. So, Twitter said on Wednesday they would no longer allow people to post identical messages with multiple accounts, cracking down on a tactic that Russian agents and others have allegedly used to make tweets or topics go viral. So the social network also said it would not allow people to use software to simultaneously perform other actions, such as liking or retweeting from multiple accounts. They are known for their freewheeling discussions in short messages, of course, is under pressure from users and governments to stem the spread of false news and foreign propaganda, often done with the help of automated accounts known as bots. So Twitter bots disseminated propaganda before the 2016 U.S. elections, have continued to inflame U.S. politics under cover of anonymity, academic researchers and U.S. authorities have said. So on Friday, the Office of U.S. Special Counsel Robert Mueller charged 13 Russians and three Russian companies, including St. Petersburg-based internet research agency known for trolling on social media. The court documents said those accused had a strategic goal to sow discord in the U.S. political system, including the 2016 U.S. presidential election. Twitter's new restrictions are aimed at improving information quality. Here's a quote. These changes are an important step in ensuring we stay ahead of malicious activity targeting the crucial conversations taking place on Twitter, including elections in the U.S. and around the world. That was a statement that they made. There was also a whole bunch of bots that adjusted... you could say they adjusted thinking in the UK as well. They helped kind of spur on the whole Brexit movement and one thing or another. And it just really goes to show that just how powerful, when it is used, social media can actually be to bring around social change. If only it was done in the right way. And I was reading yesterday about there was a Twitter account that was... bashing these kids who were stepping up for this whole gun control thing down in Florida. And this guy was going on about how it's such a bad idea and, you know, it's not what America really needs at the time. And the only problem was what they forgot to do when they tweeted was to remove the location of where they were tweeting from. And they were tweeting from Moscow. You know, and so they're posing as Americans, and that's the problem with something like Twitter. It's that, you know, if you're not careful, these people could pretend to be anywhere from anywhere, you know, giving a different agenda. And I think what Twitter are doing is a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I definitely think that Twitter is a really big platform for this kind of, you know, misinformation, because really all you need is, you know, a vague picture, a name, and then a handle.
Right.
And then you can do whatever you want, essentially, you know. Whereas I guess Facebook, you need the whole profile.
Yeah.
And to legitimize it, you need like photos and messages and such like. But Twitter is just, you know, a little circle and then names. So you can really say whatever you want. And it's easy to automate stuff when you can create so little information and proceed to do whatever you want, right? So I think this is a really... I'm particularly happy that Twitter is actually addressing this. I think, you know, we've kind of seen Twitter go back and forth on responding to issues like this. I mean, even small things like, for example, you know, when Twitter sometimes has like feedback and stuff, something it doesn't, it's not very good at responding to this kind of issue, or even with the 280 character change, you know, there wasn't, it didn't feel like Twitter was listening,
yeah,
right, to the people using its platform. But now it seems like slowly they're trying to move things in the right direction because they've seen that their platform is being used in a way that isn't what they intended it to be used for.
I don't think it's a slow move because remember in January they culled like millions of accounts that left a lot of Trump supporters really upset because they lost thousands of followers in a minute.
Yeah.
In a minute. So they called it some sort of left-wing conspiracy, I remember. But I think
Twitter lockout, I think, was the hashtag at the time, right?
Yes, yes. And, you know, I think, I mean, they're following the footsteps of Facebook as well, who've adjusted the way their news feed works, you know, to kind of remove fake news. But this, I'm happy to see this. I don't see this as a negative move in any way, just because it makes me feel good to know, like, Facebook and Twitter, they're all making the responsible move to kind of remove any sort of negative way these social media sites could be used.
But I'd love if they'd have taken this step, you know, before Brexit and before Trump was elected.
Yeah. I don't think they recognized it as a problem back then.
They did. Yeah. People were telling them how much, you know, they were being manipulated.
But like I said,
Christine has just said, they were just not listening. They just didn't care. You know,
but at least they've reached a breaking point now. You know what I mean? Because in a way, even though it's kind of, I don't feel like it's a matter of it's too little, too late in a sense. You know, I'm glad that at least now they are actually identifying the problem and saying, okay, we understand this is now actually a problem.
The thing is, though, I mean, this is going to affect a whole bunch of software companies, for example. TweetDeck, for example, who allows you to sign in with multiple accounts and send the same message from multiple accounts. You know, that's going to be an issue for a whole bunch of software developers, I'd assume.
But they have taken the precaution that in the event of an emergency or, say, a tsunami, then you are allowed to make repetitive tweets using the same account or post updates. And they will, I think they have a way to kind of detect inorganic tweets.
Right.
So we'll just have to wait and see how this works.
I think what they should do, though, in an ideal world, is if you're looking at stuff like, let's use cryptocurrency for an example right now, especially if you're signing up for one of the exchanges, they have this thing called the KYC, which is know your customer or know your consumer, depending on where you're from. And it's a whole bunch of things that you sign up for. I mean, you put your name down, they ask for your ID, one thing or another. And I know people are against the idea of collecting all of that data. But by doing that, you know, you are affirming who you are and where you're from and one thing or another. So we can't have people from Moscow pretending to be somebody from New Jersey, you know, tweeting about something that's happened in Florida, because that would just be, you know. Anyway, that's just my thought.
It's a double-edged sword, I guess,
because
you know, I have issues with that just because of I just would like to keep my data private.
Right, yeah. Right, time for a short break. A couple of tracks coming up. We've got The Undertones, You've Got My Number, Why Don't You Use It? Followed
by
John Lee Hooker with Money, That's What I Want. And when we get back, the AR kit could bring your nightmares into your living room. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Bole Fikir Mandalam. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. Final story of the day before we give you some podcast recommendations, but this is something that could give you nightmares. Literally, the AR kit bringing nightmares into your living room. Welcome back to BizBytes.
Yeah, so a developer named Abhishek Singh, who has created a lot of AR experience, tweeted his idea of the Ring in AR. Now, if you don't know what the Ring is, it's a horror movie, and spoiler alert, it involves a ghost climbing out of a TV.
Yes.
Now, the video was posted to his YouTube channel on Wednesday. It lasts just over a minute and starts off by showing real footage from the movie, and then the figure comes out of the TV and walks close enough to the camera that he appears to stumble backwards in fear before he leaves the room completely. The ghost then follows him around his home and actually casts a shadow behind her as she walks. So this is something...
Audrey is currently shaking her head and biting her lips.
Yes. So this is an AR representation of this ghost in this horror movie. Singh said that he used Unity, which is an augmented reality developer program, as well as ARKit to create the simulation. Now, Apple launched ARKit last September as part of its annual iPhone event, and the new software became available on all iPhones with the release of Apple's latest mobile operating system, iOS 11.
Mm-hmm.
And in case you're not actually sure what augmented reality is, it basically overlays animated images onto real-life scenarios. And usually with Apple system, they use basically like the capabilities of the camera of the iPhone to detect a flat surface to put the object on. Just so happens that this one is terrifying.
Audrey, I'd like to get your opinion of this. I know you're not a fan of horror movies, really, are you?
No.
Neither am I, to be
and
honest.
And I am honestly just feeling really uncomfortable listening to Christine read that.
Really?
Already.
Mm. Why?
First things first, I don't understand why you have to... I mean, this is my take on horror movies, right? And in the cinema, I would not pay to be frightened.
Okay.
Number one. Number two, my imagination already runs wild after, well, just thinking about these things, let alone having watch it come crawl out of a television and stand in front of you.
Casting a shadow.
No, thank you.
No?
No, thank you.
Christy.
I'm not a massive fan of horror movies either. I have the most creative imagination ever, and it enjoys torturing me by, you know, keeping the horror movie villain in my dreams for like 2 weeks afterwards. However, number one, I think the technology is really cool. The fact that you're able to create something like this through mass available technology is really, really interesting. So that I find really, really fascinating. The other thing is that I'm in a place where I'm not really sure whether or not this is a step into kind of Black Mirror territory, where because the experience is so realistic, it either traumatizes people even more or people are so kind of intrigued by it that it will start to kind of be a bit of an obsessive thing.
Yeah, and possibly get to a stage where you're not quite sure what is real and what isn't anymore.
Yeah, that's more my concern with this. I do think it's really cool and the animation is done. I did force myself to watch the video. It's really well done, to be fair. So I do admire...
The tech is cool, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
What about if then instead of a ghost crawling out of your TV, you know, it was fluffy puppies bouncing around out of your TV. See, that would work, right?
If there was an AR version of just petting puppies, sign me up. Sign me up. Effective immediately. I want to pet all the pups all the time whenever I want.
What? No?
Nope,
still
that,
no?
That would not work for me too. Just because I wouldn't be able to feel them. I wouldn't be able to...
So,
no, they're not real. No, come on.
But if you attach that to like little fluffy like robots or something...
And it's just so much effort,
you
Chris.
You could do it. You could. This is possible. I just really want to cuddle a puppy right now. That's my thing.
All right. So I love the idea of this. I mean, I'm a big horror fan. And the reason that I like to be scared, you know, I mean, it gives you that sensation of being alive, right? You know, that moment when you're, you know, you're so terrified, but then all of a sudden that jump happens. And afterwards you're like, okay, that's gone now. But
yeah,
the first time I've done it in 4D, where you have you done the whole 4D experience?
I've done a 4D experience.
Seeing a horror movie in 4D is an entirely different experience. And if you are a fan, I highly, highly recommend it. Yeah, but if it was 4D and AR, oh, that would be it.
See, I would be curious because I think for some people, maybe the appeal of horror movies is the fact that you have the fourth wall there.
Right.
And when you leave the cinema, it's fine.
Yeah.
She follows you into a different room. Can we clarify? So I don't know how that would actually shift, you know, when you don't have that kind of protection of the fourth wall with you, how that might maybe shift people's experience with this kind of film.
Ah. I'm sorry. I slept between my parents for 9 nights after watching The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Really?
This is not for me.
Not for me
not
either, but
me.
I appreciate the technology behind it.
All right. Okay. Time for a short break with some music. We've got the Alabama Shakes with Hold On, followed by a little bit of Lou Reed with Vicious. That sounds about right. Yeah. And then when we get back, we'll be giving you some podcast recommendations for stuff you should be listening to over the weekend. Don't go anywhere. Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It's pretty much time for us to wrap up. But on a Friday, what we do before we go, of course, we give you some suggestions of stuff that we think might be useful, a podcast that you should perhaps have a listen to over the weekend to feel inspired or maybe to to do something interesting. What have we got this week, girls?
Yeah, so we've got Digging Deep with Droppy. So this was with Lanice Ng and Isaac Rahim. So if you don't know what Droppy is, is it's a B2B marketplace that brings together suppliers and retailers on a single platform. And they released the full release of their B2B marketplace in early 2018. So we spoke to Lenise Ng, CEO and co-founder, and Isaac Rahim, COO and co-founder, all about the new web interface and what strategies they have for the expansion and future partnerships. Now, what's interesting about that interview is that we'd actually talked to them before, and this was a kind of follow-up interview, just seeing the progress that they've made and the launch of the new interface. So it's an interesting way to see how, you know, these entrepreneurs have progressed through their time.
All right.
All right. And then there was also that interview that we aired on Wednesday. It's called A Tale of Three Girls, Beat Driven Spinning and Rubber Ducks. But there's actually no actual rubber ducks involved in this interview. Katrina Taib, Lin Tan, Emily Price from Aloha Cycle Club and a Rubber Duck Cafe, they were in the studio. And they basically spoke to us about, well, managing two completely separate in different businesses under the same roof. You know, how do you manage an F&B outlet and a boutique, fitness studio under the same roof and really have a good time doing it? It was really pretty much like a Sunday afternoon talk show with three lovely and attractive girls sitting in front of you and having a great time, a great chat.
Good stuff then, was it?
Yes, it was.
So we're going from rubber ducking to high tech, I suppose. You know, this was on Jeff's Tech Talk yesterday at 10 o'clock, taking the ICO route. He spoke with Andy Tien, who's the CEO and co-founder of Asia Innovations Group, AIG. Back in 2017, more than $4.8 billion were raised through ICOs, the initial coin offerings. For many, this has somewhat become the preferred method of raising capital for the bustling startup community. One of them is Gifto, a virtual gifting protocol that closed out in just 1 minute with a sum of $30 million raised in 1 minute. So Jeff spoke with Andy Tien, CEO of AIG, and the developers of Gifto about their ICO journey and their token offerings. That's what we've got on offer for you to listen to this weekend. Now, let's quickly run through the stories that we covered today. And remember, if you missed any part of the show, you can download the app from the Apple App Store and, of course, from Google Play and have a listen back to the show at any time. We started off with
how Airbnb are revealing their new hotel-like service called Airbnb Plus.
And then we spoke about what Richard is buying me for what's the next big occasion.
Oh, my
occasion.
Word.
I don't want to say Christmas. It's too far away.
How many things am I buying you now?
When's your birthday?
But, Rich, you're giving that way. So
you still owe Edmund a ang pao, you know.
I don't know what
just
you're talking
a quick
about.
Reminder.
All right. So the second story was about Arcos revealing the City Connect, the first Google Android scooter. That is super cool.
And then how Twitter are barring the tactics used by bots to spread false stories. So you will no longer allow to be posting identical messages from multiple accounts.
And we finished off with how ARKit could bring your nightmares into your living room because the developer has found a way to make a horror movie ghost actually follow you around your house. Great.
Wonderful stuff. I'm looking forward to seeing that. Right. Don't go anywhere, though, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, of course, is the Breakfast Grill replay. So as Malaysia seeks to embrace the Industry 4.0, the Breakfast Grill spoke to renowned economist Professor Dr. Raja Rasia about the impact of technological changes on employment opportunities. Raja Rasia is a distinguished professor of international development at the Asia Europe Institute, University of Malaya. He was also the 2014 recipient of the Celso Furtado Prize for the World Academy of Sciences for his seminal contributions in the field of social sciences. That's all the time we've got for here on Enterprise Biz Bytes, though. Have yourselves a lovely weekend on behalf of Audrey Raj and Christine Wong. I've been Richard Bradbury. This, of course, has been Enterprise Biz Bytes, and we will see you Monday at noon. You've been listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.